Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition, finally at least, of the Come Out of Her My People show. I'm your host, Mark Call. And if I sound a bit frazzled, it's because one more time trying to deal with Skype and tools that are built by communists and so forth, it's always a bit frustrating, especially when, of course, it doesn't work. But in any case, we do have a special treat. I am thankful that it finally did work. And we have a fellow that will be well known to most of the Hebrew Nation radio audience, Daniel Holdings, author, former Hebrew Nation regular, and, of course, writer and producer most recently, at least as far as I'm aware of. I'm sure he's got other things in the pipeline, too. But Mega Drought and some other works that are certainly keeping him busy, as are all of us. Anyway, I'll say, hey, good afternoon, Daniel. It is great to talk with you again. Welcome, and how you doing?
Mark, I'm doing well, and it is so good to be with you. We haven't been together on the radio in a long time, which is unfortunate because I am told that I have the perfect face for radio.
So I've heard the same thing about me.
Podcast. It's always good to be with you as well. I do miss you all, so it's good talking to you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks. Well, and let me tell folks the reason why I thought about you first thing this morning when I got up and made the phone call and decided that this was a good day to get together. It had to do with something that certainly has been on my mind. I think it's topical and it's important, and it's really right at the top of the list as far as where we are. And we're at a place in the world where so many things are coming to a head. I think most regulars are listeners are well aware of that. We're also coming into the time of the fall feast, and let me introduce it this way, Daniel. I'll read a couple of verses out of Leviticus chapter 23, and again, this is the reason why I was moved to try to get you on today, and we'll start here, and I know there's a number of other things, but this, of course, is the place in the Scripture, one of several, where he talks about the times, the appointed times, the Moedim, the feasts, and speaking specifically of the one that we're coming up on, which is just about most of the regular measures, whether it's the conjunction moon or the sighted new moon, sometime within the next few days, we will have the blowing of the shofar for Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets. And then the countdown begins, and that's always kind of interesting because I contend the countdown for this feast, or this time, this special time anyway, is the day that no man knows the hour of the day. The reason is because it's the only one that starts on a new moon. And then you count, and Revelation is one of those places that seems to imply that there are some trumpets, and then there's some counts that happen afterwards. But it says this. So this is Leviticus 23, starting at about verse 27, where it says, on this 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. So 10 days after the blowing of the shofar, there will be a holy convocation to you. You shall afflict your nefesh, plural, your souls. And on that day, you do no manner of work. Basically, no manner of work whatsoever. It is the Day of Atonement. You've heard it probably called it Yom Kippur, to make atonement to you before Yehoyarel. And then it says this. Now, this is really the two verses here that I think ought to cause some consternation, especially if we've been told, oh, these are the Jewish feasts. These don't matter anymore. And this is all done away with. And don't pay any attention to that book anymore. For whatsoever soul it is that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from his people. Well, oh, I guess a lot of folks don't care what it means to be cut off. But then it says this in verse 30, and this is the one that, like I said, I wanted to talk with you about. And whatsoever soul it is that does any manner of work on that same day, that soul will I destroy from among his people. Now, just in case you've heard it said, oh, this is all Old Testament stuff, this is Jewish stuff, well, no. He, in fact, calls them my feast, my appointed times, not anything associated with a particular religion or not, although it is in his book. You shall do no manner of work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And if he's not a liar, Daniel, I can't help but think that ought to still apply. And that's the thing that this year especially really resonated with me. It's why I'm going to basically blow the shofar and suggest to people, if you've never paid attention to what his word says ever before, for crying out loud, this ought to be the year to start. Okay, long introduction. Sorry about that, but I know you had some interesting reactions. So let's talk about it.
Well, Mark, you know, how do I even start? There are things that aren't so okay. So if you remember me, I'm one of those wacky guys that think that everything is connected, right?
Yeah.
So,
because it is.
So we have things if I can say it like this, on the physical plane that are occurring right now. And if you listen to Drive Time Friday, I know my friend Mark goes over the news with you on a week by week basis and telling you of all the crazy stuff from coming World War III to coming economic collapse to to famine to all this stuff, right? Civil War, all this stuff. I've talked with Mark about those things on Drive Time Friday several times. So you have that stuff occurring on Earth in the physical plane. But we also have this supernatural plane that we are supposed to live on. And the way to be guided through that supernatural plane is with his word. And it's interesting to me, Mark, that all of these things are lining up all at the same time, both in the physical realm and the supernatural realm, coming up to the, the Yom Kippur or the Rosh Hashanah. All of these things are happening right now. And then we go right into Sukkot. And I can't shake the feeling that we have been practicing Sukkot for thousands of years for this week, the 70th week of Daniel. I can't shake that feeling. Am I crazy?
No, you're not. And, the problem is that there are so many things like that, Daniel, and you're right, on so many planes, the physical plane. Obviously, you and I have in the past talked a lot about economics. I think still a lot of that is at play. We saw a number of things this week. We can talk about them if we get around to that in a few minutes. But just about everywhere you look, there's a message. And I guess the problem, the reason why I think this is so important is because that message is being ignored. It's being ignored by so many folks. Both of us, I know, kind of we have this resonance with the line from the book of Ezekiel where he talks to the watchman on the wall and says, hey, when you're up there on that wall, you see a sword coming on the land, you better blow the shofar. Because if you don't blow that shofar, their blood, when they don't hear the warning and they die, I'll require that at your hand. And so I'm thinking, all right, this is a year for the rest of us to be blowing the shofar. It's certainly a time where I would think those people who have read his book ought to be telling, especially if you're like the head of a household, a husband over wives and children, saying, look, we're going to keep this feast and we're going to keep this time of afflicting our souls and not working. I'm not going to work on whatever that 10th day is because he tells me not to go. And so we're going to listen to him, not all those people that are telling us, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. There's no inflation, and there's no reason to worry about what we're going to do by poking the bear or poking the dragon and trying to start World War III either. On every front you can imagine, Daniel, there are plenty of reasons to be paying attention. Go ahead.
Well, and again, it is all of those things are lining up all at the same time and right about the time of year that we're talking about. Audience, I can't tell you how serious things are across the board. I have several sources and they are deadly serious, across the board. Everything from economics, just to dwell there for 1 second, the Fed raised the rates by 75 basis points, Mark, thinking that was going to fix something. And what do we see the markets doing? I mean, they continue to – well, I mean, they're fake anyway. But they're fixing to take a huge – hit as the economy is. So that's one point. But the other point is just today, the Russian yesterday, Putin came out and said that – I'm not bluffing. If the West continues to aid Ukraine, we will count them as a participant in the war, and we will use nuclear worms or nuclear weapons. And I'm not bluffing. That's what he said yesterday. We have China that is also been seen assisting the Russians in the Ukraine, or at least working with them in the Ukraine. Last week, you know that Xi met with Putin, and I'm sure that union was a talk of discussion. We have the Democrats, fomenting civil war. They want civil war bad, and this is going on at the very same time. At the same time, there's unrest all over the world in various societies. So we have all of these things happening all at the same time, and all during the fall feast. All. It's mind-boggling to me.
No coincidence.
It would behoove us to pay attention.
Yeah, no coincidence whatsoever. I heard a great study here a couple weeks back by another economic analysis guru, who a billionaire, another one of those folks that's been paying attention, said, look, if you look at so many of the major crashes, isn't it interesting? They all tend to happen right around the same time of year, which more or less is true, but they happen precisely associated with the fall feast of Yah. And he called them Jewish feasts. They're not. Again, he says they're my feasts. But I think, Daniel, what we're saying here, and we're all on the same page, I hope, is that he tends to do things in accord with his timetable, not with man's timetable. And you're right. It's not a coincidence at all. And I guess the thing that really bugs me, and the reason why I'm trying to blow this shofar this year is, again, there has never been a more important time to pay attention. And there's never been a more important time of the year to be doing what he says to do, especially when it comes to don't work, than on his Day of Atonement. And when there is just plain no question whatsoever about what he says. I know I don't have to remind the listeners here, but in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, Yeshua also says, nope, I'm not changing the tiniest part, not one yod or tittle. It's about as dramatic and clear of a warning as we're going to get. You said something on the phone today, this morning, to me that also caught my attention. I don't know if you remember or not, but I noticed it, having to do with don't go to work and why it occurred to you.
Well, do me a favor and read that verse again, verse 30, or around there where it was talking about.
Okay, so he's talking about don't do any work. And he says two things. Verse 29, any soul it is that is not afflicted in that same day, and some people think that means a fast, but I'm going to just suggest, read and study for yourself what you think that word afflicted means. But one thing is for sure, you don't do any work. That's unequivocal. That soul that isn't afflicted shall be cut off from his people. And then he says, as if there was any doubt, in verse 30, and any soul, whatsoever soul it is, that does any manner of work in that same day, that soul will I destroy from among his people. And there's just
When you brought this up.
Go ahead.
So when you brought this up to me, immediately I thought, we have seen Israel attacked on the Day of Atonement. We have seen this. This is a historical fact, right? And I can't help shake the feeling that things may well all blow up then. And if you decide to go to work, and it won't be just Israel that's threatened. It'll be all over the place. And if you decide to go to work and to not obey, then you would be destroyed, because of what I believe to be bombs falling. Or I'm not saying that's exactly what's going to happen. I certainly don't have any inside knowledge to that. I just got a sneaky feeling that all of this is going to head right now. And if you are not so careful to follow his instructions, then you put yourself in peril. And so I think it would do us well to make sure that we are doing exactly what he says, especially right now. Because when he says go to the right or to the left, we need to go. We need to listen. Because these are perilous times, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, and I think your take was essentially a bit more immediate, and I hadn't thought of it that way until you and I talked earlier this morning, setting up to do this show this afternoon. When I read it and it says that soul will be destroyed, of course he doesn't say destroyed immediately, not like I'm going to bring down fire and brimstone right at that exact time. It could be simply something like you'll be destroyed over the next few months economically, and that results in all the other things that follow in famine and that have amounted to destruction of peoples literally throughout history. We see it over and over again in scripture. But I think the flavor that you brought to it had to do with this idea of, hey, you got lots of people that are going to work in various places, and the very fact that they may be in a place that they shouldn't be on that particular day could be a problem for them. And, let your mind roam and wander and your imagination go to town. But I can think of a lot of ways where people that might not have been destroyed if they hadn't been doing something he hadn't commanded them not to do and weren't there, might have survived otherwise. So it's an interesting take. I appreciate that.
Well, I was thinking something else after our conversation this morning. The Father, if anything, is practical. Okay, he doesn't just, so often we keep, his commandments because they are tradition, or they, we keep the feast because it's tradition. We go camping, during Sukkot. Because it's ridiculous, what we've done for years or whatever. But in at the core of the reason why he instituted the feast and the law, at the core there was a reason for those things. It wasn't just to make us jump through hoops. He was teaching us something. He was directing us something. It was as his people, he was giving us directions for a future time, or perhaps to keep us safe at that certain time. So the practicality of being obedient, particularly during this time, I think is essential to our safety and our health and our family safety, because these days are perilous. I mean, everything is coming down right now, everything.
Exactly. Okay. Well, so let's talk about a couple of other things that I think are related, and then probably during the second segment, since you and I haven't talked for a while, we may talk about exactly some of those things that are coming soon that we can see on so many fronts, and why this time represents the term I like is cusp. A cusp is when so many things to come together at one time kind of lend us to understand either it goes one way or it goes another way, and it's a matter of timing and decision, and some would say chance. I don't believe there's chance involved at all, but I do believe there are decisions to be made. In any case, you've just finished saying what I think is absolutely true. The reason why we're told to memorialize, we may not be able to keep them in the way that Scripture says. We can't offer the sacrifices or go to some of the places necessarily, because some of them don't exist anymore, the one in particular. But we can at least remember them. We can try to do what he says. One of the things we can certainly do, especially if you read this, is not to work on that day. And interestingly, I will contend that as for me and my house, we watch for the sighted moon, because there are two witnesses that the moon's been sighted. And of course, then the question is where? Hey, is it in Jerusalem or in the land? But I respect and I understand that other people will say, oh no, we can calculate it. It's the conjunction. That would be at sundown on Sunday night, which means don't go to work on this coming Monday. So there might be a day or two difference in there. And again, I think the more important thing is the lessons, and including the thou shalt not lessons. But you're right. Certainly the book of Revelation, we don't have to go through all of that, but there are any number of places where the shofar sounds and various things happen. I think, and have contended for a while, people don't really understand that. They can't unless they understand his feasts and have been walking in obedience to the things that he says are my appointed times, my moedim. There's also a lesson. We certainly come up on this time of atonement, the 10th day, and there's a lot in Scripture about basically getting cleaned up and getting ready for what follows. Yeshua gives any number of parables and examples about the wedding feasts, and certainly the wedding feast is about as close of a picture as you're going to find for this time of Sukkot and of the culmination of his annual feast, the fall feast. The time of, you can say time of Sukkot or the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles or Tents or the old English term, I think, is mangers. And a lot of us will understand, hey, you know, you can almost pretty well clearly go and look through Scripture and the suggestion is real strong that he was born this time, meaning the time of the fall feast especially, but in particular Sukkot. So on every front, Daniel, you're right, there's so many things that if we don't simply observe and do as best we can what he says, we miss out. And it might be this year that in particular we miss out on life itself. Go ahead.
You know, you just said something, and I'm looking it up here. Now, you remember, because you saw the movie, when I wrote Megadrive, one of the things that the Ruach really impressed upon me after, because I was brought into the project after it already just had started, and I had never written a documentary before. I'd never did anything like that. Well, when I started, I did the trailer first, because that's what the previous writer had been working on. And then as I started digging into the material, I got this crazy idea. And I talked to Steve, the producer. I said, Steve, I said, the drought is only the beginning of what is coming. And basically I told him, I said, you know, I really believe that this is the launching of the four horsemen out of Revelation. Now that was last year, Mark. That was 2021. And certainly while the scandemic was going on, it wasn't anything like it is right now, I should say. So was it premature to even suggest this? And as you know, I've seen the movie, the four are actually interwoven throughout that whole movie. And I say all that to say this, because you made me think about something. The fourth seal is in fact death. And I just the other day I did a study. I never did a study on this. I just assumed that when it talked about an ass-horned horse, whose rider sat on it has the name of death. But when I looked up the original Greek here, it blew my mind, because Mark, this word is thanatos, right? And it's not death as in a physical death. It's a spiritual death. It's the separation from the Father. And what does that verse out of Leviticus say?
Cut off. That's the word that comes to mind.
Would be, what's it say again out of verse 30? We would be what?
Well, it says, I will destroy you. Before that, it says, he shall be cut off.
You know,
and cut off is certainly another way to use to describe something very similar, it would seem.
Right. So the other horses are enough to kill off a bunch of people. I mean, but I always assume that death, when it talks about the horse rider of death, it was not. No, I think it's talking about the Father cutting off a good chunk of humanity from himself forever. Now, what could prompt such a thing? If you look later on in the book of Revelation, they take the mark of the beast, right? And that does it. that does it. I mean, they're done. But I right when you said that just a moment ago, when I looked at this verse and it I was pondering it, it just came right back to my mind, and I literally got the chills. I was like, oh no, is this all connected? Is all that we are seeing connected to these four horsemen, and are they connected now? And does it go all the way back?
Absolutely, and that's a good question, but it takes us to the break, so we'll be right back and pick it up there after this. But don't forget to say grace and tell me over and over.
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. And with my lack of education, hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall. Code of
Thrones. All right, folks, we are back. This is the Come Out of Her My People show. I'm your host, Mark Call. And today we have a special guest, good friend of the show, and a former regular here on Hebrew Nation Radio. He's moved on to some other things. I guess you'd say a bit more of a wider audience, including a lot of those who have not yet come to understand the truth of all of Scripture as written. And I'll let him address that in the way that he finds most apropos. But it's great to have Daniel Holdings back with us, author, and most recently, of course, responsible for a lot of the creative work behind Steve Quayle's movie called Mega Drought. In any case, Daniel, take us where you'd like in this segment. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, it's funny that you mentioned it, Mark, because when I was at Hebrew Nation, I probably did, I don't know, four or five different shows. I was the general manager at the time, kind of the gopher, really. It's general manager's job. And I worked all the time. But the thing was, I was kind of shifted from my normal routine when Don and Cindy asked me to come on. I was a writer, creative guy, and started, you know, doing more imaginative stuff. And certainly back in my business days, I did a lot of that, but it wasn't what I was doing at the time. So I found myself in this environment of Hebrews and not really talking to a lot of Christians. And so it's interesting, when it was time to move on, and, you know, we all left on good terms. I was just tired. I had to go. And I had to get back to doing what I was supposed to be doing. I found myself being shifted from, you know, working with a bunch of like-minded Hebrews to Christians primarily, talking about all the crazy, because I never lost all my conspiracy thinking when I gave a Hebrew Nation. It just, talking to guys like you ruined me even more sometimes, I think. But you know, when I got back into this realm of a larger church setting, if you will, I had the opportunity, and have the opportunity from time to time, to talk to people that we on Hebrew Nation wouldn't normally talk about, because they wouldn't turn to Hebrew Nation. You know, lots of times when we first come into this flock, we want to beat people up with all the stuff that the Father is showing us, that the Ruach is showing us. We will tell them that they are, you know, we will tell Christians that they are worshiping a pagan sun god and stuff like that. And honestly, that's probably not the best way to go about convincing them about the truth of the Word. So what the Father has given me the opportunity to do over the last few years since I left is to be able to drip on people and talk to them about the feast, talk to them about keeping Torah, and why that's important, why we should do that. Now, how the Word hasn't changed, you know, that the Father said what he meant what he said. And so in the course of that, being able to establish relationships with people is really interesting. And one of the things that I have found is that there are Christians that, because of the time that we are in and because of what they are seeing coming, they are coming to me and saying, Daniel, what about the feast? What, the fall feast? What about, you know, Yom Kippur? What about Rosh Hashanah? How does all these things go with what is going on right now in the world? And it's totally independent, Mark. I don't have to say anything. That's the Ruach doing what the Ruach does. And all I have to do is open my mouth when the time comes. And, of course, he gives you guidance when that happens. But it's fascinating to me because it's happened over and over and over again. Have you kind of seen the same thing?
Well, it's a little bit different. Obviously, I'm in this particular place, but yeah, and I'll tell you, what I'm noticing is there is a dichotomy. In other words, there's more and more division as well, and this is right out of scripture and what he said was going to happen anyway. Let me give you a quick example. I put up a post on a predominantly, I'll say it that way, Christian website earlier, and I quoted explicitly what I just did on the beginning of the show, Leviticus 23, and the idea of the setup, and then especially those parts about don't do any work. And here is the comment that I got back from the moderator, who said they were going to move this to, I guess, what I would call the Jewish ghetto to make sure that Christians are defended. Because, quote, it's such a firm statement that if you don't work on the Day of Atonement, you'll be cut off from the people. And it may come across to some readers as if, quote, if you're not a Christian, you're not a Christian if you don't do the feasts, unquote. And that's not what I said at all. What I said is, he says that if you don't do this particular feast, you may just get killed. And I would say that's pretty clear and unequivocal, and you're right. But what it indicates to me is I think a lot of people are asking the question, and there are those that are going to say, but we don't want to have that question asked. We don't want you to hear the answer. We, for crying out loud, don't want you to look it up in Scripture. Don't be like the Bereans, in other words. And honestly, Daniel, that bugs me quite a bit. Go ahead.
it reminds me of there's a Christian radio station in town here, and their slogan is positive, uplifting, and the name of the station. And I've added to that slogan, Mark, positive, uplifting, ear tickling.
There you go.
Christian music, right? So it's indicative of what we see in the church today. I mean, people, they don't want the truth. They want their ears tickled. And, you know, we were told by Paul that was going to happen. It is happening. You know, that's the amazing thing to me, to see how the word is coming alive right before our eyes, but how many people are just, they're blind to what's going on. I mean, it still baffles me, Mark, how people cannot see the correlation between the news of the day, the events of the day, the attitudes of people today, and the word of God, and refuse to acknowledge that. I mean, that blows my mind.
Well, I agree. It blows my mind too, but it's not like we haven't heard it. I mean, when you say that, Daniel, immediately I want to quote the two places that I quote probably more than any of the other prophets. Isaiah 66, where he says, because they chose that in which I do not delight, I'm going to choose their delusions for them. And I'll blind them, basically, and I'll bring their fears upon them. And then in Hosea 4, he says, well, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and then he goes on to talk about how you're willfully blind because you have rejected knowledge. I'm going to reject you for being priests for me. And oh yeah, and I'm going to forget your children too. All of which sound like pretty severe sanctions for choosing not to listen to what he says. So you're right. I mean, we all have this balance and this question. I have been criticized. I know you probably have trouble believing this, for not having dripped enough honey on top of my quoting explicitly and directly what the word says, as if he dripped more honey on it. In fact, you're right. Ear tickling is probably one of the nicer things you could say about what they're being told in the lying pulpits. And I'll say it. I use this term, and a lot of folks don't like it, of the whore church. But the reason that whore church is still in exile is because it was kicked out. Northern Kingdom, Israel, the whore church, for, in fact, adultery, same thing spiritually, for, in other words, being a whore and not doing what he says and being real proud of it, too. So you're right. It's at the same time, it stuns us, it amazes us, and yet you can't argue with the fact that he says, I will blind them. I will bring their fears upon them. I am going to I'll bring upon them what they have been asking for because they're willfully blind.
You and I briefly mentioned, and we have talked about this before on other shows, Ruth Graham's statement to Billy Graham right after she read one of his manuscripts, and she brings it back to his desk and looks him in the eye and says, and this apparently, I don't know which book it was, but apparently it was pretty straightforward. She said, if God doesn't judge America for our actions and sin, then he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Now, the funny thing is, I mentioned this on a podcast, right? And I got a comment that said, well, God told Lot, if he found one righteous man in Sodom, then he would have spared that city. And surely there's more than one righteous man in the United States. Why would he judge us? I'm like, oh my goodness.
Where do you start?
So that one. What?
Where do you start with that one? Yeah.
Okay, so that one example before Yeshua, by the way, because now we have Yeshua, right? So we can make a choice, folks, as individuals. But that one example negates all of his talk of judgment over sin, right? That one example. And people don't want to know. Don't tell me the negative stuff. This is their attitude. Don't tell me the negative stuff. I only want positive and uplifting and ear-tickling stuff. I know, it drives me crazy.
Okay, well, let's do this, Daniel. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't. We got the lag as usual.
So far, I mean, I say what I say, and I don't pull any punches as you do, as you don't. So, you know, we're here for a reason, for a season, and whether they want to hear it or not, we only have a short time. You know, we can only work while it is day out, because the night is coming, and my friend, it's coming fast.
That's I think the real key here, Daniel. That's part of the reason why I feel like this year, if there was ever a time for all of us, and of course, the concept of this show, the idea here is to blow the shofar. There is a sword coming upon the land. We are supposed to come out of her and be separate so that we don't partake of the sins, those are pretty darn obvious, and the plagues, which are also pretty darn obvious at this point. And it looks like, at least, you know, to me, this is my opinion, that they're accelerating. And we've seen it on so many fronts. I have at least an interest in economics and Austrian economics, biblical economics. You, of course, have a background in the distant past that's more related there. We're certainly seeing it in the meltdown of the economy. As both of us like to point out, there has never been a fully fiat currency in the history of planet Earth. The dollar will not be the first that has ever long survived. And, of course, the Bible, and this was just a few weeks ago's Torah portion, is real clear that unjust weights and measures, dishonest weights, the fiat dollar, these are an abomination to him. And so we're seeing that. We saw the Fed this week, the Fed's Open Market Committee, raise interest rates 0.75%, right? Keep backing up until you're glass breaking. And as you pointed out up front here, the Dow had a 500-point swirly, even though they all knew darned well that was exactly what was going to happen. And the other irony, and this is kind of confounding to some folks, is the dollar is getting stronger. You know, the worst house in a bad neighborhood, as all the other houses are literally on fire, tends to go up in value relative to those that are burning down. But it says that there's something else going on here that's bigger. Take us where you'd like on that front.
Well, you know, that's a good place to sit for just a second. So what I think is about to happen as far as the dollar goes, I think they are going to crash it to replace it with a digital currency. And they're going to have to, because the debt that we are carrying is insurmountable, and they know this. And right now, it is a debt bomb that is about to go off. So they know they got to do something. This is why they are pushing war the way that they're pushing it. Yeah, this whole idea of politics and, you know, between Russia and Ukraine, and bad Russia, good Ukraine, poor people. And they don't understand, Mark, that they're being used as pawns for a bigger ploy, and that ploy is to start World War III.
Absolutely.
To kill people and damage things so that we can ask for debt forgiveness, because we can never pay it back. That's the whole point.
Yeah, it's a mathematical impossibility.
It's just, and it's way late, because they know that the wheels are literally falling off this toilet paper wagon. Toilet paper meaning the dollar being toilet paper that's carried off, you know, that's being carried by this wagon. The wheels are literally coming off of the thing, and it can't stay afloat very much longer. And honestly, when I say very much longer, I mean weeks longer. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, Mark, am I overreacting here? You think?
No, and as a matter of fact, like I said, there are some pretty good cycles analysts. Martin Armstrong comes to mind. That's one most people will be familiar with. But there are a bunch of others that are all pointing to the same thing, and that is that, when all of these events kind of crest at the same time, it gets very ugly. Jim Rickards, I could name half a dozen people that I respect and have followed for a number of years, all of which are saying, hey, you know, when this thing blows, you don't want to be anywhere close. Let me give you one other big example that I hope most everybody is aware of, and that's what's going on in Europe. Not only are we seeing hyperinflation here, the deliberate destruction of the supply pipelines, the supply chains for not just food, but energy as well. We've seen destruction of diesel fuel. We've seen there was a big fire at a BP refinery in Ohio just this week. Hey, do you think that could be a coincidence? Or maybe it's just the judgment of God? Interesting, the same people that will reject the judgment of God will say, well, maybe it was arson and probably just a chance. But when you put it all together, Daniel, Europe is in a world of hurt. And in particular, you've seen riots over there, people lining up to try to buy coal in Poland, people in France and Germany, all being aware, Switzerland has done some really draconian things. This is going to get very ugly. And it turns out that Russia has now completely cut off all of their natural gas supplies to Europe. Most folks are aware of that. And that's about 40%. That's almost half of all energy in the entire European Union. They've been exploding price-wise, and essentially the EU is already buying up about 75% of all liquid natural gas exported from the United States. The bottom line, and analyst after analyst is saying this, they can't get no more. The supplies that they're going to need don't exist. There's no backups. And what that means, this is going to be ugly to watch. People are going to freeze to death. Well, unless you have a really mild winter and don't count on it. And all of this is going to put yet more global stress on the global pipeline. And basically, how many more of these dominoes have to fall before it's simply undeniable that it's come apart?
Well, aside from the human toll, Mark, we were just talking about economics. Their economy, the European economy, cannot survive this. Because what happens, audience, is that there's no gas to run their electric plants. No gas. Which means that their industry shuts down. Without industry, there's not any revenue. Without any revenue, countries collapse. Economies collapse. And this is weeks away. I mean, it is crazy to see what's going on. But you mentioned other fires going around. I mean, Japan is shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
Their economy is on fire. China's economy is on fire in spite of the fact that they are now trading directly with the Russians in rubles. But their economy is on fire. But the difference is they have moved to a war footing and are trying to, you know, generate product via their production, their manufacturing means. But the point is that all around the world, it's not just the United States, folks. It is the world's economies collapsing right before our very eyes. And people don't understand this. Now, what happens when economies collapse? Well, you have certainly famine, right? And you just mentioned some of the, the B plant catching fire. But how many food production plants in the last, I don't know, 6 months have caught fire or been destroyed, you know, in the United States alone. So you're seeing the physical destruction of our food supply. But in addition to that, when economies collapse, that brings along famine as well.
It's to the point, Daniel, where, you know, you look at the food fires and people will say, oh, you know, a few, maybe one, maybe two, maybe three, maybe a dozen could be mere chance. But when you get, we're up into the many dozens at this point, and it's not just food fires, food production facilities. It's plants that aren't getting planted. It's diesel tractors that don't have diesel to run, to harvest the things that aren't being planted anyway. It's almost, Daniel, like somebody has been pushing for this on every front you can mention. You know, and we need to mention one more since we're talking about the litany of things. You said it. When economies collapse, what crooked governments especially tend to do is look for a scapegoat. Oh, and what we're going to do? Let's blame somebody and go to war. That'll fix it. So there's always war as an option. And this week we saw something that I don't think it got nearly the headlines in the U.S., certainly not the right kind of headlines that it should have, where Putin essentially warned that, look, if you keep pushing us, and they have been, and they will, they'll keep pushing, they will not... And he said, I'm not kidding, I'm not joking, I'm not bluffing, they will turn to the nuclear option. Now, what irritated me was I heard some of the news stories saying, oh, this means Putin is talking about using tactical nukes in Ukraine. He did not say in Ukraine. He said nuclear option. And it's the lying press that's saying that means tactical nukes in Ukraine. No, it doesn't. And that's the bigger key. Again, on every front, there are things that people are just plain willfully blind to. And I think it all starts with, if they're not willing to see the things that are written so clearly in genuine print, why are we surprised that, you know, they'll turn to tickling ears and they'll find the news that they want to hear and ignore the stuff they don't want to hear until basically it, well, envelops them and destroys them.
I don't recall the verse that I'm thinking of right now, but you alluded to it out of Ezekiel and someplace else where that the Father said he would send them a delusion. And it says that the same thing in the New Testament, that the Brit Hashanah, that God would send them a great delusion.
Yep.
And I think, Mark, we are seeing that right now.
Absolutely.
The other thing that I was pondering was, there's this whole discussion in 2 Thessalonians about the restrainer. And people always want to talk about, they want to talk about what the restrainer is and, who he is. It always drives me crazy, this discussion. It doesn't matter. Because when he is moved, then it's all chaos. I mean, it's chaos. And Mark, that is exactly what we're seeing now. The beginning of chaos. And my friend, it is fixing to get very, very ugly. I wish I could have positive, uplifting, ear tickling information for your audience. But there's another station for that.
There's no shortage of that. You bet. And you're right. You nailed it with the 2 Thessalonians. It's chapter 2, where basically he says the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And I got to say, gee, have we not seen that? And all unrighteousness. Now, unrighteousness, of course, is, for example, working on a day when he says not to work. They that perish because they didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And this is 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. And for this cause, Elohim or God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that all of those might be damned who didn't believe the truth, but instead had pleasure in, I'll say it this way, I like the term torahlessness, unrighteousness, not doing things he said you're supposed to do. It's not hard. And I guess that's the uplifting message here. We got less than a minute before the final music comes, but it's not like we haven't been warned. And I think that's the point. That's why I appreciate your being on with us, because we have the information we need. He's told us. It's just that a lot of people don't want to hear it, but they had better wake up because time is drawing really short. Go ahead.
Well, Mark, I just want to say, thanks so much for having me on. If there was ever a timely discussion that needed to be had, it was this one tonight, because, next week is very, very close. Monday, whether you sight the moon or go by the a different way, Monday's right around the corner. So things are very, very serious. But, folks, be obedient. Keep the feast. Keep the Sabbath. Walk with him. I don't have to tell you, people, because many of you have taught me. So Again, Mark, it's always good to be with you, brother. Thank you so much for having me on. Audience, thank you for indulging me once again after all this time. I appreciate being with you.
All right. Well, hey, thank you, Daniel. It is great to talk with you. It's been quite a while. Missed having you on more regularly, but we'll do this again soon. And meanwhile, you know, I guess we'll just end with the note that we've been on this whole time. We should be thankful. We have been given all the information we need. All we have to do is just walk in obedience, do the things he says, and ultimately choose life. And with that, folks, we're at the end of the show for today. Haxanayak, pay attention to what's coming, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.